Yo.
What up, what up?
What's going on?
Oh, new name, Triz.
It's not new. I just decided to use it.
Oh, word, 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 word.
That's what Jam Michael and Shannon used to call me.
Oh, word, word. I didn't know that at all.
Nah. Instead of pun, they call me Triz.
From Triz. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, because you know I always called you pun in high school.
Yeah.
Word, word, word.
And Michael used to be like, Tricky, what up, Tricky?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the original Troublemakers are on. Word. It's amazing how we started 7 years ago with just us two. So, pause. That is a pause moment, right?
No, that was the damn internet going in and out.
Okay.
I heard nothing you said.
No, I said, it's amazing how we started 7 years ago with just us two. And then I thought about it. I said, that's pause, right?
No.
Okay. There's yoga.
What's happening?
Mr. Clear Mike.
Hey, goddamn, Mr. Clear. Goddamn.
This nigga sound like a fight commentator. Who you working for, PBC?
No, you know what he sounds like?
What?
He sounds like that guy that does online church.
Wow. So you talking about Reverend X?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm talking about something totally different.
Damn, bro. Really?
All right, there's Red.
With a regular name. Wow.
Just says Red.
Yeah. I know.
He ain't for the bullshit tonight.
So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Digga. That's Red. That's Rajan. That's Yoga. And that's Two Gun. And we are the Troublemakers. So first things first, I want to open this show by addressing the hip-hop elephant in the room.
Please do, because...
So we got the Amazon Prime of diss tracks dropped over the last week.
Bruh, it was wild.
Well, let's just go with the last month, okay?
Right.
So... y'all know about Like That from Metro Boomin featuring Kendrick.
Mm-hmm. Nine total, right?
I think there's nine total. So, you know, you got Like That. What was it? Champagne Moments. Euphoria. 616 in LA. Meet the Grams. Taylor Made Freestyle. Oh, God. What is the other ones?
Family Matters.
There we go. Yep.
Not Like That.
The Heart Part 6.
And it got to a point where I couldn't listen to any of them motherfuckers no more. Like, God damn, bro. Like, y'all going back and forth. Like, somebody gonna put it down. Put the mic down. That's
all. And my personal favorite, Not Like Us.
You see that one, Lil C's says something about rap battles should be like just straight rap. Nobody should be dancing to them shits.
I disagree because Hit 'Em Up was a dance track.
You
no, right. It was not.
It was too.
It was not no dance track.
With the Dennis Edwards sample and shit,
no.
That is a dance track.
No, it is not.
Yo,
that, you might have bobbed your head a little hard, but I can't see nobody doing the funky Watusi to no fucking Hit 'Em Up.
Funky Watusi.
I'm going to tell you like this. The first time I've ever been to a club, they played Hit 'Em Up. And people rushed to the dance floor like Juvenile's Back That Ass Up came out.
Like almost
there are people that dance to what's it called? Hit 'Em Up.
Man, there's people that dance to Down For My Niggas.
But who's that dissing?
I'm saying, but that's not a dance track.
No, Hit 'Em Up is a dance track.
Hit 'Em Up can be considered a dance track. People can dance to Hit 'Em Up.
I mean, yeah, they can, but I wouldn't consider that like no dance track.
So this is my thought process on that. When you listen to like Hit 'Em Up, his intentions wasn't to make people dance. His intentions were to say something. If people just so happen to dance to it, people just so happen to dance to it.
Right.
Yeah, you know I mean, like, and I think that was the same thing with well, it's a little different with Kendrick because I think Kendrick intended to make a poppy dance diss track because of who Drake is. Drake makes music that people can dance to. So he is going to diss him with music that people can dance to. It was more calculated than just like putting out a dance song.
And then them motherfuckers are crip walking like a motherfucker to that bitch, boy. I
say, God damn, boy.
All right. Here's what I'm going to say about the whole situation, right?
I'm listening.
Because at first it started just as a regular diss. And like halfway through it, it was no longer for the fans. You know what I mean? Like halfway through, it became extremely personal, where these motherfuckers should have just been saying this shit over the phone to each other, not actually putting out music. Now, they put out the music because it's the element of what a diss track is. It's the element of like proving your points. That's just the nature and the culture of hip hop and dissing. But I would probably say like halfway through, like at that point, like is when the fans, it's just music to be music. It got a really personal to the point to where like you said, there's so much that came out and so much that had to be proved that there was a lot of fans. And even some of the people I talked to about it had to take a step back and just kind of like let them do their thing.
That or motherfucker, he said the whole message to the family. That's what he did. The whole message to the family.
Or you could have been like Two Gun and just said, I'm not even going to participate in this shit at all.
Yeah, because I ain't a fan of either one of them.
I would like to hear y'all thought on this. But
I don't see these being diss tracks that people will listen to 10 years from now. Maybe I'm wrong.
I disagree. I think any kind of like diss track, there's diss tracks like that people go back and revisit just to revisit like the whole element of the diss and things like that. Cause I mean, and a perfect example of that is like Cassidy has diss tracks, Cannabis has diss tracks. And like, you motherfuckers go back and revisit like diss tracks just because that's what people do with this. They want to go back and relive it and see what this.
Yeah, but right. Those are actually pretty good.
There's pretty good diss tracks here.
I mean, if you're a fan of them, too.
Second round knockout, bro?
I like that.
Are you saying that wasn't good?
Am I saying it? Is he saying it wasn't good?
I'm asking.
For me, when you put up all the diss tracks that are out there and you listen to second, like for me, Cannabis, and the reason why I named them, I didn't really like Second Round Knockout as a diss song. But you also got to look at this. If you look at kind of like leading up to now, there's a lot of diss songs, but really there wasn't that much. So like when somebody dissed somebody back in the day and they made a diss song, it was actually a big deal because there wasn't really a lot of diss back there. There was very few and far between, unlike getting 9 diss tracks in the span of a month. You know what I mean? So you acknowledge Second Round Knockout because it was a diss track, but if you go back and listen, I didn't really think it was that great.
I like the song.
You have to put everything in the confines of its era, though, right? So it's just like if you talk about, like, the NBA. If you talk about the NBA in 2024, like, the players that play now versus the players that played in, like, 1985. Talent-wise, yeah, these guys are way – like, they're doing stuff here. Like, I think I saw a video on YouTube or TikTok that was, like, if Kyrie Irving played in 1983, they would think he was a wizard, right? Because just of the stuff that he's able to do on the court, like it wouldn't make sense in the minds of the people because they hadn't experienced that type of talent. So the guys that we have now, you think about a Kendrick Lamar and a Drake rapping against each other with anger and passion, bro, they're going to make better songs than Cannabis was going to make in 1990 something. Like that's just what it is.
1998. But shoot,
name any rapper that was making songs better than Kendrick Lamar and Drake in 1990. 596.
I can name a whole lot.
No. Not from a skill standpoint. Not from a quick like entendres. Nobody's doing entendres like Kendrick Lamar does in 1998.
So not even Jay-Z. So when I'm thinking about, it's not so much the, like how they're putting together the song. What I am talking about is if we're talking about just solely talking about diss songs, mm-hmm. You take Cannabis's Second Round Knockout versus The Ripper Strikes Back by LL, like they're clearly two different caliber of songs.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what I mean? They're not putting
two different caliber of artists too.
Correct.
And but, none of those songs are better than Euphoria.
No, they're not. But Cannabis, like I said, like I said, Cannabis at the time, when you put that what he had together from a diss song standpoint, you had to pay attention to it because he was actually dissing somebody, even right. though it wasn't that great of a song.
Yeah, Cannabis never been known for his great songwriting. And also you have to put it through the lens of like, this was his, I'm getting put on. Like my first real foray into the big stage. Like people learned Cannabis's name because he was on, because he made that song.
Correct.
Right.
Like, I mean, he was on Second Round. He was on the song, you know, the 5-4-3-2-1. But he wasn't like, people like, who's this dude rapping with LL in him? But Second Round KO was his first opportunity. Was like, nah, this is me. I'm staking my claim. I'm making myself known, which is why what LL ended up doing was so deadly. It's because like, nah, okay, one, you got to remember that LL was in a down season. Like that was, hey, loving LL. That was doing it well, LL. That wasn't the dude that was doing Mama Said Knock You Out. It was a completely different guy.
It was the phenomenon era.
For him to get attacked at that time, that could have been a real blow. That could have been a real knockout blow for his entire career. And he smoked, dude.
Straight up.
Well, that was pre-GOAT era, right? Because he came out
pre-GOAT,
with the GOAT,
that's pre-GOAT era.
No, that's when he started deciding stuff. He came up with the GOAT thing right after that, and then told us that his name was Big LA.
Big LA.
Talk about a wasted opportunity.
Good Lord.
So I still think about, like, you look at the folks who were like some of the bigger diss artists of that particular pocket, right? That's when you had Eminem, whose lyricist came out.
Time out. I always denounce Eminem as a battle-ready MC because when you look at Eminem, who did he really challenge?
Busta Rhymes. No, he's a Busta Rhymes. Busta slow dance with me.
No, Busta.
Who wanted to challenge Eminem is the question.
Well, MGK found that out real quick.
But here's the thing, though. I think where I denounce Eminem is people have called him out. He just chose not to respond, but chose to respond to small fish.
Who called him out?
What big artist called him out?
Who?
There once was a time where what's his face called him out. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Snapping your fingers right now, ain't you?
Once again, I ain't no Eminem fan.
So recently, the game has called him out on a 10-minute.
That's recent.
Nobody responds to the game.
That first of all, that was recent, and that was all after the game had already lost whatever battle he had to everybody else that he called out.
Yeah, JC on don't
I'm,
need to be
I'm talking about. Names. I'm talking about in the prime. Like nobody
called him out.
Yeah, Jaw lost.
Horrible.
Fat Joe spoke on him.
No, John never called out Eminem. John never called out Eminem. That's not true.
All that was a collaborative kind of.
Yeah, that was a 50 Cent. He like literally. I think I just saw something recently. They were like that Eminem was initially like because he was rolling with 50. Like he was like, all right, well I'm a roll with him. And then like he met with John and like, dude, like I don't really got a problem with you. It's just this is gang. And he's like, well, cool. If that's the case, then like, why are you making songs about me? So he's like, I'm gonna stop making songs. So he stopped making anything about Ja Rule. So it was, but John never called out him. No, that wasn't a thing.
And I did see something about with the Morning Show. Shout out to them boys. You know what I'm saying? When Charlamagne said that Drake wasn't the only one who's getting jumped right now, as far as like everybody, you know, beefing with him or trying to get this on there. It was Ja Rule. That was the
original.
Hell yeah.
No, Ja was the. And if you remember, Doug, if you're like, and that's the thing. Like people talk about this. That's why I don't like this conversation around Drake in a whole lot of ways, right? Because one, Drake, and I'm pretty sure we'll get to this. Drake needed to be jumped in order to justify what he was doing.
What we're figuring out problems?
Drake needed to be I'm saying Drake needed to be jumped to keep himself a victim. Claiming to be jumped is what allowed him to be. Oh man, all these people coming after me. How many Drake fans you see online right now? Man, he had to go against 20 people. He was not going against 20 people.
No,
he was not going against 20 people. Now he's going probably against like 2,000 people because a lot of things that he wanted to do has flopped. And then Metro Boomin put that BBL Drizzy instrumental out there, and it is tearing up Twitter. Like Twitter is ablaze right now with BBL Drizzy Freestyles. Like, it's crazy.
That is wild.
But back to Ja. Ja was just minding his business being on the Soul Train Music Awards 17 times during the dang on thing, performing with everybody and writing every song that was nominated for anything. And this dude comes out of nowhere and just starts like jumping on him. And then his homeboy starts jumping on him. And then his homeboy starts jumping on him. Ja didn't do nothing to nobody.
You talking about 50?
Yeah,
that's some hood shit. That started in the hood.
Yeah, but see, no. They went, if they were just in the hood, if they would have literally jumped them in the hood, I would have respected that a whole lot more than what they did.
I mean, just the whole shit started in the hood. They just both happened to be artists.
Yeah, I know.
It's the platform that made it as big as what it is. You know, the big thing with Drake though, and here's the thing that irks me about this whole thing, right? Is like I said, once it got personal, they started talking about all those personal matters. You say what you say on the track and all the other stuff. Like, and mm-hmm. you remember Beef back in the day, you say what you say and then you just move the fuck on. But now mm-hmm. it's like you say what you say and now everybody, for the exception of Kendrick, and this is the thing that bothers me about Drake, is like you say what you say and now it's like, well, you got to prove it now. You know what I mean? Like, that's not how this track works. You know what I mean? Like, I never heard a diss track to where somebody came back and was like, yeah, I want you to prove A, B, and C. Or yo, I didn't do that.
You're talking like, about saying like prove Jay-Z was 36 in the Tybo Club.
Yeah, that's because these old feminine ass niggas be pillow talking with everybody and everybody giving up information.
Oh, and that's the issue with social media. All my issues go back to social media. But like, that's the issue with social media. Like, there's so much out there, and people see so much. Like, Drake put himself in a position. It's like, yeah, I'll be in jail by now if I was raping some, if I was underage girls. No, you wouldn't, nigga.
Doug, that's the worst. That's the worst excuse for why you didn't commit a crime ever. Yo, if I committed a crime, I'd be in jail right now. Do you know people get away with crimes? And specifically the crime that you're talking about? Like, Doug, R. Kelly was a whole menace for 30 years, bro, before anybody was able to put a finger on him. Like, what are you talking about?
And still like, making
And he's a, what you call it? He got them people behind him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, for sure.
But we're not going to say
the things that made me, one of the things that I questioned was, he was just like, you know, he brought up Millie Bobby Brown's name and nobody even mentioned her name at all in the beef.
But you know why? You know why? It's because, once again, social media. When those social media detectives start going out and then Kendrick makes the claims, they start discovering shit. And then they discovered that, and I was like, that's fucking cringeworthy that this 31-year-old is giving this 14-year-old advice on, like, relationships. Mm-hmm.
Or pulling a 17-year-old on the stage and then asking her age, and then after she tells him her age, he says, oh, man, why are you so thick at 17? It felt so good when you put your chest against your breast against my chest. Like, that's nasty, bro.
That's disgusting. And that's one thing I was telling people. I was like, for anybody who has daughters,
that's where the argument comes from. That's where my argument comes from.
Seeing a predator as such, it's gross.
Yeah.
But going back to the whole R. Kelly thing about it, right? Yeah. So like, he made those claims. I didn't do anything with Millie Bobby Brown, what have you. Or he did the whole, oh, it's not me, I'm not a predator, I would be in jail and stuff right now. If we're going to bring R. Kelly into the situation, let's talk about why R. Kelly, why it took so long for R. Kelly to get caught or get prosecuted for all this. First and foremost, he's in the same boat, because with Drake, it's that same underlying, yeah, this shit happens and people are now bringing it all up and stuff like that. And it's just one of those kind of jokes about it. But Drake is in the same boat as R. Kelly, because the reason why it's probably going to be a long time before he gets caught is because, to be fair, allegedly, it's because it's another, if you want to call him this, I'm not going to say that because I'm not going to be rude, but it's another black man having these crimes. Yeah. Like, look at R. Kelly. Most of the women that he was involved with were black females,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We all know when it comes to like things like this, it's a slower process to get justice for you know, people of color. And yeah, you know what I mean? So, like, I bet if it was a whole bunch of white females that R. Kelly was fucking with, that motherfucker would have been in jail locked up in 97. Listen. But it wasn't.
I think it said 97.
You know what I mean? Listen. So this is the same, it's the same situation with Drake. It's all going to be a slow process because it's not something worth their while until somebody makes it worth their while.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Goldsteins are going to protect Drake.
Facts.
Mm. Facts. Did you say the Goldsteins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I heard that. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Who are the Goldsteins?
The Jews.
Just the Jewish community. The Jewish community. Okay. I knew where you were going with that.
Okay. Yeah. The thoughts. What's your name? What's your name?
Who's that?
Whoever just said the Goldsteins?
Oh, that's Two Guns.
Hey, Two Guns. Hey, the thoughts and views of Two Guns are not necessarily the thoughts and views of Ray John Lewis or anyone affiliated with Ray John Lewis. I want to make sure that's very clear. Before we move forward with this here podcast. Thank you.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I love him. But all my lawyers are Jewish.
No, but I get what you're saying, though.
Because they're good.
Nobody wants to talk about that, but underline... because it's always that we drift off into that Kanye field,
yeah,
when we talk about it, but it's just one of those truths that just people know about, like, that particular community and some of the things that they represent and some of the things that they have power behind. You know what I mean?
Anything that got to do with making money.
So one thing I do want to bring up is in the Heart Part 6.
All
right. Drake was just like, you know, fuck whoever told you these allegations, blah, 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 blah. And then goes on to say, yo, my people baited you. Like, nigga, what?
Which is obviously a lie.
There's a lot in the Heart Part 6, bro. There's a lot in the Heart Part 6 that if you are a Drake fan, you're looking at him sideways. I'm going to switch it. If you're an objective Drake fan, you're looking at them sideways, because there's some of y'all that's listening to this podcast that y'all ain't savable, and you need to do something about that. Like, therapy helps. But, like, there were so many. One, he tried to take Mother Ice Sober and make it mean that because Kendrick was molested, which the song blatantly says that he was not molested,
correct?
That's why he's doesn't like pedophiles, and he's obsessed with rooting out pedophiles. Which makes zero sense. And who would make fun of somebody who's molested? Somebody who thinks it's funny to molest people.
That's fact.
So you make yourself sound nuts. That's the first thing. Secondly, you spend what, a minute of the song just saying, you know, like doing that, and then you spend the rest of the song explaining that you're not a predator or a pedophile, which is crazy. The other part of the song, you're spending talking to this man's wife, which the reason why I got here in the first place, if you want me to come out and really bomb on you, say my wife's name. He didn't learn about it from Push. He did it in Push, and then Push said, okay, cool. There is no too far. Y'all heard the interview. He said, well, how's too far in battle rap? There is no too far. There is no too far. So you can't be like, well, man, it's not fair that you trying to call me. No. I'm going to use what I got on you. You said my child's not my child. You said my child belongs to another man. You said I beat my wife. You said, okay, cool. So now there is no too far. There is no too far. You don't get to decide how I respond to disrespect. And now I'm on your head top, bro. And none of this stuff lands if you can't just turn on your computer or your phone and see mad videos and instances of this man dealing with young people in an inappropriate way. Mm. It's you, bro. Mm-hmm. You are the drama.
Thanks. Usually women are like that. Usually women are like that, though.
Ooh, calling him Caddy.
You know what was also like the most glaring thing about that last diss track, about the Heart Part 6?
What's that?
It is absolutely glaring that Drake absolutely has no he has like no mole or like no actual information.
He has nothing.
All the information that he said in that song felt like I was scrolling through Instagram and reading what other people
were saying. There it is.
There it is. Sound like a buyout. Sound like a buyout.
So when he said the line like, that you cower, these clowns are feeding you information, and then 2 seconds later said, yeah, we baited you into this information. Not only did he clown himself there, but also, like, it didn't make sense because he went on an interview with academics and he was passionately like upset about the fact that the whole daughter line. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he also rapped 2 straight songs about saying that he didn't know who was leaking information. So, like, why would this motherfucker be sitting in the room talking about, first of all, you don't know who's leaking the information. Sitting in the room's like, hey, guys, let's be very specific with this. Let's tell them that I have an 11-year-old daughter that I don't take care of. Yeah, you get that? Write that shit down, right?
We know who's leaking information, allegedly, okay? Because the goddamn security guard got shot either today or yesterday. I can't remember.
It was today?
Okay. But
I don't know if it was the security guard that was leaking information. I think that shot was just a stupid-ass Kendrick fan.
No, right? I don't think so at all.
It was either last week or the week before the Weeknd's manager
got shot.
Was shot, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's more tied to that. I don't think it has anything to do with Kendrick at all. I think it's very convenient that it happened.
Very much so.
Right now, I don't think it has to do with Kendrick at all.
So people leave him alone.
That's wild.
Drake seems like the type of nigga that would stage some shit like that. So he can build up his cred, you know what I mean?
He's like, I can't find my Sally Hansen blue nail polish, and just start bucking.
Just stick a Sally blue hits.
We know he's not a shooter in real life. So what is the best way to bring, like, what is the best way to take away controversy is by more controversy. Like, to me, it sounds like he would pay somebody to do some shit like this.
Word.
Because he's not going to do it.
That's true.
Well, you got to understand. He paid somebody to get information on Pusha T. They couldn't find anything. This was years ago. He paid somebody to get information on Kendrick.
It's crazy now, man. Because everything, you got all these, you know, the battle rap songs this weekend, and then all of a sudden, somebody got shot. Now the shit's getting like, it's getting out of control. But I'm pretty sure it has nothing to do with either camps or whatnot, but like we said, some random motherfucker, just Drake fan, Kendrick fan, I'm sorry, just running up talking shit, and then bitch, bow, that's it, you know.
I'm gonna tell you what the next most awkward moment of this whole thing will be in the future.
Who boiling something? What the fuck going on?
We heard Kendrick give the warning to LeBron James and Stephon Curry.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
Get the family away.
I want to see what happens.
Oh, Lord.
Around summertime when they go to a little NBA training camp and those motherfuckers are there. And then you know how Drake likes to be a man of the public, be out and about. Our next season when they go to games and shit like that. That next game in Toronto when Drake is sitting courtside when the Lakers play or when Golden State plays, I want to see.
You want to see Azari going to be sitting next to them?
Nah, I want to see how they react. Are they going to dap this nigga?
Keep the family away.
Are you going to hear from the damn the DJ in the goddamn arena? Da, 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 da. It's like, oh shit, here you go.
But you know the worst part of it to me though, the way it was a friendly quit. As soon as I heard Heart Part 6, I posted, yo, that was a friendly quit. Like that was like the fact that you like if you're gonna use like how when Kendrick used the 616 in LA, he went hard. He went right at Drake.
From the beginning where he had the Wiz sample reversed. Right.
You would think that if Drake was gonna use the Heart Part 6, he was gonna body it because that's you're using his signature. You're using like that's the next 6 is the one after 5. Yeah, we know what Five did. You know what I mean? Like, Five was one of my favorite The Hearts. Like, I,
what
like
is The Hearts? What is
that? The Heart part. The Heart series?
Yeah.
You never heard The Heart series?
No.
Oh, my God.
So, The Heart series is Kendrick's, is like, he put these Heart series out, I think last time, last couple
times. No, he always used an album, right? But, yeah, he always used The Heart series to roll out an album.
Hold up. Now I got to play it.
Yeah, he put out those Heart series before he put out albums. Yeah. And they're just kind of like one-off freestyles, one-off songs.
Okay. The I told you I wasn't a fan of neither one of them.
I can't get mad at you for not being a Kendrick fan, but what are you a fan of? I just asked that
real quick. Anything that's not like that.
So...
No, I don't like a lot of the new stuff. I just don't listen to. Like, I don't like the beats. I don't like none of the, like, most recent music. I just kind of stay away from it.
So like 1970s disco. Like, what are you into?
I mean, anything but like more newer stuff. Like, I got like a cutoff date, like 2015.
What's the cutoff date? Like 2015.
Okay. No, probably 2012. To be honest with you.
Okay, because Drake came out in 2009.
Yeah, definitely.
And was 2010. He was the best back then. Yeah. Like Drake, in 2009, Drake was for the ladies. You
know yeah, I wasn't like, listening to that.
Well, that was before Drake started like trying to act hard. Like it was different.
Yeah, like he was for the. I went to a Drake concert around that time when that first album came out. I was disappointed, man.
Mm-mm-mm. Only thing I really know about Drake is like a sprained ankle. I ain't nothing to play with.
That's
a great line.
After that, I was like,
I don't like
that. Like, I had a homeboy who used to come to my crib and want me to put on Drake, and I used to be like, yo, you gotta go. You gotta go in the kitchen.
Sir, you need to leave.
You need to leave.
Like, go in the kitchen, take the little Bluetooth speaker, and chill.
Still wild as hell.
Oh, that's part five.
That's part five.
That's my shit.
So you need
I love this song, bro.
That's my shit.
Wait.
He smoked it.
He needs to hurry up and put out a part six?
I think he still does six.
There it is. Yeah.
I think he still does six. I think
out of spite he will put out a part seven.
No, I would erase Drake from memory. I would go with six.
Oh, most definitely. Well,
so here's the question now. I got two questions. Mm-hmm. I got two questions for y'all on this whole situation so we can put the situation to bed. Question number one is, where do you think it goes now? With everything leading up to this point now, what do you think happens next? I know that we can't predict it. And then the second question was, what was y'all thoughts are of what is the best song out of the nine diss songs?
So,
okay.
Honestly, as of right now, it's dead. It's over. Like, yeah. Drake sounded very winded, very tired on the last track. That was his, basically, the ball was in his court and he took the ball and went.
He sounded defeated. The word is defeated.
Yeah, he sounded defeated. He basically, the ball was in his court. He took the ball and he went home.
You ever been playing ball with somebody and like y'all, you like killing them on the court and then they like pick up the ball and like take like a lazy shot and then walk off the court like, man, I'm tired?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Oh, the little nigga that knocks over the checkerboard?
Yeah. That's what it was, bro. Yeah. That was like, yeah, man, I'm tired, man. I gotta get to work early in the morning, man. I can't say I am, man. Y'all young folk, y'all keep going, man. That's what that was. So to his point, absolutely. I think it's a rap. TDE, like the people involved with TDE have all said, like, yo, Kendrick's won. Drake said he's not gonna rap, he threw up the white flag. So we not gonna keep going with this. We good.
So, but my favorite track out of all of them was Not Like Us. Because honestly, it's just so. Oh man, it's scathing.
Yeah.
In my eyes, can we call the Metro Boomin Future feature a goddamn diss track?
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. It's
the song that launched everything else.
Yeah.
Roger that. Okay. So, I was just saying, to me, it was just 16, 24, however many bars. And that was it. It wasn't necessarily the whole track, but
it wasn't the whole track. But here's the thing: he addressed for all the dogs.
Yes, but I'm just saying. I understand where y'all coming from. This, in my opinion, that's all. That's all.
Yeah, no,
I understand. I understand what y'all coming from. Absolutely.
Can I tell y'all my favorite second diss track on the whole thing?
What was that?
Champagne Moments. Do you know why? Because at the end where Rick Ross has Drake like, yo, this is the greatest rapper of all time. He helped me in my career, blah, blah, blah. I got to give much love to Rick Ross. I'm like, that right there is just like
that's crazy.
So my favorite. So actually, I have different favorite songs for different reasons. To me, the best song is Euphoria. I think Euphoria, from beginning to end, like there it's three different songs in one for one, but it's a build up all the way through it till you get to the I hate the way that you walked away.
Exactly.
The way that built, the build up on that song was friggin' amazing. Then you got Meet the Grams is the nastiest song. Is the nastiest song. And it's done in the nicest way I've ever heard in my life. To throw your child, to talk about his mom, your son's a sick man.
And he should die?
I think the people like him should die.
The first two words of the song are Dear Adonis.
I'm sorry that this man is your father.
And when I heard it,
Your grandfather should have worn a condom.
Bro, like, in the nicest tone ever, bro. It's like he saw his son at the playground.
It was Meet the Grams.
He just walked over to him like, hey, young man, I don't know you, but I know your people. And I want to tell you a few things that may upset you. Like, and you should let me mentor you. Dog.
Yeah, so that was my answer. So I'm gonna take so I can answer the question. Like I'm gonna take a different approach. I actually think, to y'all point, that I hope it would be over, but I think there's too much pride on one side that it's not over. I don't think Drake will come out with another diss song. However, I think that there's going to be something.
Oh, Sassy Silence. Sassy comments are coming, bro.
Yeah, well, something will be said, and it will continue to put fuel on the fire.
Did you say a sassy summer?
Sassy songs are coming, bro.
Oh, I thought you said it's going to be a sassy summer.
It's going to be Drake. It might be a sassy summer.
It just might be.
It might be a sassy summer. Something sassy is coming, bro.
Here's the reason why I think that it continues. It's because you got to think about what's around the corner. There's rumors of another Kendrick potential album.
Yeah, Kendrick
album
coming, yeah.
ASAP Rocky is around the corner, and he hasn't finished his thing with Drake. Drake, and I don't think Drake is just gonna back down. You know what I mean? He's already at the bottom. Like I think he has something to prove.
That's the type of nigga that he is. And here's what I was telling Rajon earlier: when you deflate Drake's ego, Drake does not know how to function because right now Kendrick is beating him at his own game, which is a numbers game. Drake is used to being on top. Drake is used to being, you know, having number one singles, this, that, and the third. You have Kendrick battling himself for the number one and number two spot.
Yeah.
Not only that, Drake's, what is it? The Heart Part 6 is the most, you know.
It has more dislikes.
Video.
Likes.
More dislikes than likes. By a popular artist who's went platinum or better.
Yeah, that definitely didn't do him no favors. I think he knows it.
So when you have your own competitor beating you at your own game, your ego, which is very much a lot of your career, is tarnished. That's like if I started smoking weed and outsmoked Two Gun my first session.
I mean, Two Gun, don't let him do you like that. No, don't let him do
you like that. You got virgin lungs, so you should be able to.
You know what? Just a side note on that. I imagine if that ever came to fruition and that ever happened, Two Guns, I bet you would give him a strand that would make him not want to smoke ever.
Yeah, just take him up out of here.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Just get him straight up out of here.
Straight to the moon. Straight to the moon.
We're going to start off with this shit.
but like I said, you know, basically, Drake has never been beaten at his own game, ever.
He has. The issue is, when he got beaten at his own game, his popularity and how polarizing he is, he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and walked away from it.
Who beat him at his own game?
Pusha T.
Pusha didn't beat him at the strategy game. Pusha just out-rapped him.
Pusha out-rapped him, but then at that point where people are telling him...
Has Pusha ever went to number one?
That doesn't matter. I don't think...
Drake.
I don't think that matters, and that's the reason why I said he was able to walk away. Because when it came to the culture and in the ego thing, Pusha beat him. Pusha made Drake change his whole persona off of that diss.
Pusha made Drake be a father.
He changed everything about Drake off of that. He did.
He made Drake be a father.
Didn't we get God's plan? We got God's plan after it, right?
He got a lot of stands, because that came out on the Scorpion album.
I will say this. J. Cole, I salute you for staying out this bullshit. Because you knew what you was doing. You knew what you was doing. Hell no. Not saying he won any of the beef or whatnot, because J. Cole is a phenomenal goddamn rapper. You know what I'm saying? An artist, period.
Yeah,
but he did the good thing by staying out of this shit. Kept the peace, kept you zen, and everything's peaceful for you as it should.
In the words of Joe Budden,
that's what I think about Cole.
In the words of Joe Budden, I don't want to talk about Jermaine Cole.
Here's what I think about Cole though. I think if Cole would have stayed in, he would have got the same fall. No, did it. If Cole would have stayed in this beef and start going out track for track, I think Cole would have had the same effect that Drake had, because I don't think Cole has to I don't think that he has the moxie to go out and get whatever news or whatever he needs.
Cole's heart ain't like that. That's not, you can't have somebody against the nature. And that's really what you got to think about when it comes to the Cole thing. Like Cole, you can't ask somebody to do something that's not in their nature. It's just not, he's not that dude. Cole's a good rapper. Cole's a good man. It's like Vince Staples said, he's like, dude, in real life, you're a real nice person. Don't try to, you know, thug it up. What would J. Cole even say about Kendrick? That would be weird. His diss to Kendrick was, yo man, I like most of your albums except for the last one.
It's like almost saying hey, I don't like your last one.
I didn't like that last album, bro. I wish you would have did that on the last album. Like that's his diss.
His diss sound more like he wanted to get into an actual lyrical battle with him,
mm-hmm.
not a personal battle. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I think Drake tried to take the personal route, and then what ended up happening
is like a woman.
Don't say his wife's name. Like, I don't know why this is such a hard lesson for him. Like, don't say a man's lady's name. That's what women do.
But that's what Drake did with Pusha T also.
That's my point. And he didn't learn that lesson.
And that's rumored to what led to the beef between him, Future, and fucking Rick Ross.
Oh, don't say a dude's lady's name. Like you can do once you do that, once you show that you are willing to disrespect family in any way, like that. That like, oh, I'll be with bodyguards, like with me. All right. Now we're here. Now we've opened that door. Leads me to the other favorite song, which y'all were talking about when I came on originally, Not Like Us, which is probably one of the most devastating songs because, not because it's lyrical miracle, nice stuff. This dude has won the number one song in the country, the most streamed song this year by any rap artist with that one song. And people are in the club screaming, certified lover? No, certified pedophile.
That's O-V-ho.
Dog, in the club.
A minor.
like for all the Drake songs, we don't have one line that we can pull out and be like, oh, this one here is the one. Like, he has several on that one song.
I do want to stay on subject, but divert attention to another thing.
Roger that.
This is why I think Drake lost the beef. Because
reason
I'm
going to
read this word for word. From an insider, waiting on a proof and documents, will update whenever I receive it. PG Lang, which is Kendrick's label, and XO, which is The Weeknd's label, as of yesterday, were asked by Universal Music Group to end the beef with OVO. Kendrick apparently isn't budging, but UMG is pressing hard on their request to squash the beef. UMG also had a Zoom meeting with all the parties involved, and they want Kendrick to either directly say through PR, through PG Lang, or to post a statement clarifying that Drake isn't a pedophile if Kendrick approves to end the beef. Drake is losing the beef in Universal Music Group's eyes. So from a Universal Music Group's perspective, the sooner the beef ends, the better. The pedophilia accusations directed towards Drake are costing UMG, Nike, and other parties a lot of money.
Yeah, fam. It's a rap battle, motherfucker.
I'm telling you, that's what you get for getting
in bed with the damn rapper, because it can go either way.
You know what I'm going to say on this one? This is where Gunna comes in, right, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
This is where Gunna comes in talking about the Jewish folks.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
That money.
You're messing up the money.
That was
always going to be, though.
That's why it was always going to be.
And who's the CEO of Universal Music Group?
Is that Lucian?
Lucian Grange, without you ever say his name.
There you go. Which is Drake's. That's Drake's guy.
And he's a ghosting.
Listen, shit only gets serious when pockets start getting light.
That's it. But that's the nasty game that you play, though, right? So Drake takes this line, and they'll just talk. I just listened to the Patreon episode of the Joe Budden podcast with Ack on it, and they're like, of course, I think they recorded on Friday, so they didn't get the Friday night like flurry of songs that came out with Meet the Grams and Family Matters, and then the Heartbreak that came after it, or Not Like Us. So like, but they were like, oh, it's not right that he's putting these allegations out there. And I'm like, again, none of these stick. Drake came out and said that Kendrick beats his wife, right? Kendrick beats his wife. He beats his wife. No evidence of him beating his wife. No affidavit from any officers or from anybody. Like, there's no proof to that. But they're not asking him. UMG's not asking Drake to say, "Oh, I made it up that he beat his wife." They're not making him ask to say, "I don't really know that your child is not your child." These are real things, bro. There is no too far.
I mean, I'd rather be a wife beater than a pedophile.
Right. And I would I wouldn't be honest about that.
You could accidentally slap your wife, but you meant to fuck a child.
Right. Yeah, you don't accidentally do that.
You don't accidentally do none of that bullshit.
Wow. Gunner has the best point on the show right now.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, but that is a good point, because like, if you look at it in Hollywood, in Hollywood and in the entertainment industry, there are multiple stories like that, right? And people kind of walk away from those, like, altercations with your significant other and things like that. Like people talk about it all the time. And a lot of that is themed from money and ego and stuff like that. But to have somebody have the story of, like, I'm with somebody underage, you automatically put yourself up there with, like, the Epsteins and the R. Kelly's.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And that's, and it's like, yeah, me and my wife, we argue not do something at her and, you know, made TMZ, but, like, I ain't fucking no kids.
Right. I don't know how to hog tie people.
They said I'm fighting for my life right now.
But also, you know what else is actually great in Kendrick's favor?
What was that?
That he Paru.
Other than that, but Not Like Us was released on a Saturday, didn't chart until Sunday, and this would be the first track that had a shortened release. If it gets number one, will be the first track with a shortened release to ever reach number one.
Yeah.
All this is just good promotion for these two. Just got people talking.
Yeah.
Now it's like, what's next? What y'all gonna do next?
Yeah, and that was my point. My point is, like, now that all this is going on, I feel like this situation has reached, like, a high pinnacle very, very fast. And now it's like, what happens next? Because eventually they're going to put albums out, and then this will be reminded at some point during the album. It will have to be discussed. Or, like, and once again, I'm bringing it back to social media, because y'all can tell I have a big issue with social media. But I bring it back to social media because you cannot not address this. You know what I mean? So Drake decides he wants to put out an album in December. Like, you cannot not address this whole situation. And, like even if things go dead from now until December and Drake puts out an album or Kendrick puts out an album, you cannot not address this. Because, like, then somebody on social media is going to be like, they're going to start bringing up all this old stuff and all these receipts saying, like, aren't you going to bring this up? You're going to talk about this? You know what I mean? Like, because it's all public view. You know what I mean? So, like, at some point, like, somebody's got to say something to the nature of, I took the L, or to the nature of, you know what, this is where I'm in and all this stuff. Drake attempted to do that, but the way that he did it by trying to go out swinging did not help his case, and it also was like an open-ended sentence to where it left the door open for more ridicule, left the door open for more of this.
But would it be crazy if Drake's mansion got raided / searched after this?
Which one of y'all live next to a train?
I don't know.
No, I'm outside smoking. There's somebody AC is that shit is old as hell. My bad. That shit is way across the street, and y'all can hear
it. Brought back memories.
Mikey's mic is like clear as hell.
You can hear it.
Nah, I just brought back memories being little and hearing the train come.
Gotcha. What? There ain't no trains in Detroit?
Not like that. I mean, I don't live next to them, but you know, back in down south, you got all them freight trains. They come like twice a night.
Right. No, you're right.
To be honest with you, it kind of sounds like that damn green box we always used to sit on.
Where that gave us superpowers, and now we're going to figure out why we're tired.
Hey, man, I got, hey, you know what's funny? I think I got one in my front yard, bro.
That you do?
I think I do. I got one in my front yard. I was sitting on that bitch just for nostalgia the other day.
Oh, speaking of meteorites,
motherfucker.
I saw the biggest meteorite drop out of the sky Friday night.
Word?
What? It was either a meteorite or Optimus Prime. One of the two. I kid you not, it was green and it was in our atmosphere. It wasn't like a shooting star that's way up there. This shit was like in the atmosphere. And it was an overcast, so I'm telling you, the shit was green. Well,
did you make a wish?
Nigga, now I know. We jumped in the truck and tried to go find that motherfucker. We rode around for like an hour looking for a house fire or some shit.
What the hell?
Nah, somebody's about to become Meteor Man in your neighborhood.
It wasn't that close, but you know, it was at least within 100 miles. That shit was big.
Word.
What is it called? Because that just remind me of something. What is it called when they put up like fake clouds to cause rain? Like the government does that shit. They did it in Dubai. Oh, Cloud Seeding.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you said you saw that meteorite, it reminded me of a conversation I was having earlier with my lady, because she was looking out the window. She was like, "It looks like they're cloud seeding to like put up fake clouds to force it to rain, like a real life version of that movie Cloudy with a Chance of Meatball." But they did that in Dubai, and we saw what happened in Dubai. Dubai got fucking flooded because they couldn't control the goddamn cloud. But did you hear that she was also saying that there was rumors that the government, like, cloud seeds in certain areas to hide, like, the evidence of
UFOs? Like,
yeah, UFOs and shit.
Yeah.
This is you know, pay homage to Jaden Smith, who would try to distract everybody from the rap beef by talking about aliens are real. So we'll give him his...
Well, whatever that was shot through the sky the other day, all I know is that bitch was green like the Incredible Hulk, and it was glowing like Green Lantern, and that shit was wild. I've never seen no shit like that before.
That's pretty interesting, I ain't gonna lie.
And it came at the craziest angle. Like, it lasted maybe a second, but it looked like it lasted forever.
Lord.
Well, damn.
I'll say it is. The earth is flat, so you never know.
That probably was Luther coming after me for what we was joking about the other show.
Oh, yeah.
He just missed.
See, here you go.
Oh, my bad, Mikey.
Here you go. Y'all better leave Luther alone, goddamn.
Out of nowhere, when they were looking for it, all you hear an echo in this guy's...
I hate
y'all.
Better leave Luther alone, goddamn.
I fell asleep late last night. I wanna be loud.
Y'all niggas is wild, man. Yo, fuck y'all.
Digga, was there anything else on the topic of discussion?
Believe it or not, no.
Yeah, because I know we took that Drake and Kendrick.
I knew that was going to be a 40-50 minute topic, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got you to the finish line.
Yo, y'all watching the NBA playoffs?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
What did you think? What are you thinking about with the way the Timberwolves are dismantling the Nuggets?
They are whooping their ass. Edwards is the next Jordan.
But here's the thing, though. Nuggets haven't played a team that fast.
They are so fast, bro.
Yeah.
Here's my thought, and I'm just saying this because I'm a jealous Laker fan. because I'm a LeBron fan. To be fair, the Nuggets have not really played very well all playoffs. They just ran into a disheveled, disorganized, and mentally drained Laker team.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time for them to play like to get back and play a team, and they are running into a very young, fast, just talented team.
Because it seems like every time I watch the game, the Nuggets are on defense.
Dog, they are so fast.
Yes, so fast. The Timberwolves have the number one defense in the league all season. And that's because, and no Diddy, they're fast and they're long. They got a lot of players with long arms.
Lord,
you on a roll.
Long arms. Long arms.
Yeah, but still, you even when you said the pause, you could have switched up the word.
Because I'm long and I'm strong and I'm standing with a friction arm.
Jeez, 69 God.
No, but like that, their defense is just ridiculous. Like the double teams, the double teams that they're putting. Oh my god,
you are fire!
Damn,
he's Crody, on come fire. On now.
Nigga, you are 69 God.
The traps. Got a good one.
You good. Keep going, bro. You got it.
The traps that they're putting on Jamal Murray at half court are like
ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, it's true.
He can't move through them. And this, I also saw a very, very good point that was brought up in actually two sports shows that I watched earlier today. the reason why their defense is so good is because they have a player who can actually go one-on-one with Joker.
Yeah.
And be
absolutely.
Doug, no, but then Naz Reid is coming in and doing work.
Yes, yeah. He is. Naz Reid is ridiculous. But like, Naz Reid is also a secondary player who can go one-on-one with Joker. That is the key. If you can guard him one-on-one, it forces you to have extra help for the other people. And that was something that when you go back and watch the Lakers series, yeah, the Lakers got off to a hot start, but they always fucked up towards the end of the game when they started double-teaming Joker and then let Jamal Murray and then and Michael Porter Jr. always open on the wing because you had to get the help to Joker.
Doug.
They actually got beat that series by all the other help.
Doug. Yeah, we ain't gonna talk about the 25-point loss to with the Cavaliers though.
No,
God, damn, that shit hurt.
You can't, Doug. The Timberwolves said you can't hit a buzzer beater if you're down 20 in the fourth quarter.
Whoopsie.
So they kept running. The Nuggets ran the exact same play, like I want to say 97 times, bro. That side pick and roll from Joker to Murray, bring the ball up, get the Joker in the post on the elbow. Murray had the tight rub off of Joker, get the ball. Boom.
Ooh, done. Ouch. Wow. Whoa. Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah,
that's, I was trying to find a better way to say it. I didn't have a better way to say it.
It's okay. It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah. But no, but they ran that play over and over and they could not. That, like, it, the pick happened every single play in the fourth quarter. I never understood it.
You couldn't help it, man. And I'm watching goddamn OKC. In Dallas, say a 42-38 right now, and I'm proud of OKC, man. I used to live there about four years and shit. So I never been to a game, but still,
4 years. Those tickets got to be $37, bro.
They was, and I never went.
Listen, you can't when you can play one-on-one defense, you always have an opportunity to win games.
Yeah,
and they can play one-on-one defense. There's a lot of teams in the league that can't play one-on-one defense. The Lakers are one of them because they have liabilities in D'Angelo Russell. They have liabilities.
Oh, good God, D'Angelo, sit your ass down somewhere, Lord Jesus.
But they have the offensive power to keep themselves in games. If you look at the last, 15 games that they played against the Nuggets, the average margin of victory has been less than six points. It's been like 5 or 6 points.
That's all right. Margin of victory. JJ Redick going to the Lakers.
I saw that. Coach. Is that official?
I don't know. Everybody's talking. They talking about it. It's a whole
bunch. I think that's a bad idea. I think it's a bad idea.
Why is that?
Because LeBron always ends up with the coach that's in their first year coaching. Like his whole career. He's been like dudes and Paul Silas.
So can I say something funny about about the Drake and Kendrick beef?
That sure, I'm bring us back into the abyss, digger.
Yeah.
No, I just it's just something we can go back to the playoffs in a second.
No, we good. Go ahead.
No, you good. Go ahead.
It says Drake is not no name that you see on a sex offender list. And somebody says, that's because your name is Aubrey Drake Graham.
I promise y'all. I promise y'all. If I was doing this, I'd get arrested.
Shit.
Y'all can go back to the playoffs. I'm sorry. I just thought that was funny.
Dog. And on the long list of worst excuses ever for why you are not a pedophile, I'm too famous. I'm way too famous for that type of behavior. Dog, mad famous people are pedophiles, fam.
Yeah, so was what's his face? Chuck Berry.
These are not good excuses.
Elvis.
Well, Elvis, according to records, Elvis did not mess with Priscilla for real until she was 16, which was the legal age of consent at the time.
Back then, back in the day.
Oh, wait. Oh, y'all also don't know. You know the age of consent in Canada?
No.
It's 16.
Ew.
Pretty ad thing it is. My God.
Dog, that ain't for nowhere, bro. Dog,
so listen, that's why
So it's, that's it's why different Drake everywhere.
So people gonna play that song at weddings, pep rallies.
Is it pep rallies?
Dog, pep rallies, basketball games. That's a Bay. I was telling Digger earlier, dog. That's a Bay Area bop, bro. The Niners coming out to that all year long, bro.
I'm telling you,
I believe it.
The aging is different in any country you go to, man. It's not always 18 or this 18 period, but still, it's Lord have mercy on my soul.
Hey,
where was this called? Where was this concert at?
Which concert?
Which one?
That he brought up the 17 year old and talking all this bullshit.
He was 20. He was what, 25 or 26 in that video. So that was like,
no, he was that was what's it called, within the last 6 years.
No, not that. No. And that one, he had he didn't have facial hair in that video. The one with the 17-year-old girl, he didn't have facial hair.
But I was about to say, where was the concert?
It wasn't in Canada.
Okay, well, there it is.
It wasn't in Canada. No, like that, like I don't get how anybody, and Diggy, you brought the point up earlier about having daughters, man. Like, I have four daughters, right? And I was in this in a group chat with some homeboys that I got. I do another pod with them, and like I had to like literally stop the conversation. Like, no, bro, like y'all are making jokes about something that's very serious. Like, they're like, oh, you know, well, you know, it's, you know, that goes back, you know, when people used to pick up the girls from school in high school and all that. I'm like, bro, but that's nasty. That doesn't get good because people did it. That's nasty work, fam. Like, you like to be like, oh, well, you know, that's always been happening. So just because it's been happening over the course of time, you think it's still a good thing to do? That's what your nasty mind tells you?
Right.
Like it was good back in the day because it was legal back in the day. This is now. We are in the now. This shit is unnecessary.
It's crazy, bro. And like, and again, if it was his daughter, I was like, you don't have a daughter that age. When you have a daughter that's 14, 15, 16, and dudes are really looking at your daughter like that, you're not going to be on some, oh, well, that's just the way the things are going all the time. No, you don't want to kill that dude.
Oh, you right. You know, I'll fight.
You know how many times I have to sit there and spark on men in the mall for looking at my daughters walking with me?
Hey, yo, listen. Drake's daughter's going to be that age in 3 years.
You did that. That was good. That was impressive.
And dig it. If I was walking with you in the mall and I saw that shit, I would lose. I probably lose my mind.
We bombing.
Like dig. I know you about your kids. You know what I'm saying? Not saying you passive and shit. Like, oh, he's just looking.
No. Cool. We all know how I am with my children.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. But at the same goddamn time, I'm more a little bit more vocal. And a little bit more assertive than you are,
right? So, that's facts.
Yeah, so I'll be like, yo, what's going on? What you looking at? Joe monkey ass. You better keep on walking. Anyway,
of course, it's a serious discussion. You know what I mean? I don't want to serious this out, but like, I think about even you adding that element of Drake was inboxing Millie Bobby Brown and having these conversations with a 14-year-old. This girl was 14 years old, right? My daughter was on, so y'all know me. I be on TV quite often for stuff that I do.
My
daughter was, so a lady that I met through my media contacts was doing a story on mental health for like high school students, something like that. So I got my daughter, I told my daughter, hey, you know, this lady is reaching out, she wants to talk to students. And she's like, well, I'll do it. So she was on the news talking about mental health for high school students. Some dude like reverse engineered and found my daughter on Instagram and started inboxing my daughter. Like that's nasty stuff that's happening, bro. So like
that's just wild.
The way we counteract that kind of stuff, real talk, the way we stop that kind of stuff from happening is make it where there's no safe haven for people who do stuff like that at all. Back
and goes back to Mark's point. I hate social media.
True.
if anybody hates social media, it's red.
Hate social media because Lord, I'm not trying to tell parents how to raise their kids. Not at all whatsoever. But if you check your children's
there's no privacy for kids.
Instagram, all that shit, like, and you look at the pictures they post or whatever. If it's provocative enough, a motherfucker going to be in the goddamn DMs and shit.
It don't even have to be that. Like, it don't have to be that at all.
But still, at the same time, you can take a regular motherfucker picture and just be, the motherfucker still be there. So I understand that point.
Like, I remember when Alicia got modeling pictures for her 20th birthday. Mm. And when it became her birthday, I posted one of the pictures on, you know, social media.
I remember, I think you were talking about this on another show. It was way back, though.
Yeah, it was way back, but there were so many dudes in my inbox like, yo, who the fuck is that? She's bad. I said, if you read the post, you could see that's my fucking daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdo.
You know what I mean?
I remember that shit.
You know what I mean? It's just like, it's so mad weird how thirsty older dudes are for younger people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I said what Drake did is not okay. You're not going to be an older man texting my daughter.
Roger that.
And through all of this, not once did Drake acknowledge that, yo, I probably shouldn't be talking to young kids like this. It looks nasty.
Right.
Not one time. Because you know why? Because he's trying to get them numbers.
That's the odd thing. He could easily defuse all this. Again, that line doesn't work. That line of that angle does not work if there is not evidence everywhere of this man being flagrant with young people. I'm not saying he's a pedophile. I'm not saying I don't know enough about him to make that kind of judgment on that person. But there's enough smoke around this man to where Kendrick's remarks landed.
Now, was that a flagrant one? Was that a flagrant one or a flagrant two?
It's a flagrant one. It's not an automatic ejection, but it is. It is pending review, and it's very possible. But if you watch times, you may say to yourself, "We got to get this man out the game."
Right.
You're right.
I agree.
Right.
And that I agree. So absolutely. Let me ask one final question before we get off the show.
All right.
Who won the battle?
Okay.
Kung Fu.
I don't think.
All right.
I'm just listening to see if there's any other answers.
Who won the battle?
Oh, who won the battle?
Somebody dryer done.
The fans. The fans won.
Wait, is that my dryer?
Hold on.
That's got to be Mark. I'm sorry. That's got to be Mark.
Nah, I'm. That might have been in my dishwasher. I'm in my living room.
Dishwasher make that noise too?
Yeah, my
dishwasher. My dryer.
I do not have that.
Obviously, from a rap battle perspective, obviously the overall winner is Kendrick.
I was waiting for the explanation because I'm got to expound.
I thought it was like, you know, from a personal standpoint.
No, I was gonna say I said the overall winner is Kendrick, but I was gonna say the overall loser is actually both of them, to be honest with you, because of the fact that now these allegations are out there and. Whether it's true or not, there's that potential of tarnishing images over some bullshit. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yep.
And then also the vision of putting the energy into something like this, knowing that there's some other stuff that you know, we probably could have been putting our energy in. You know what I mean? And not
give us one. Name one. That.
Ply said that we put our energy in voting the same way we put it into these districts.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's absolutely true.
Also, Vince Staples had a very good.
Yes, he did.
He had a very good interview. We talked about point. He had a very good interview. We were talking about like how even how the industry is like just fucking people, Paul.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like putting a lot of energy into something like this takes away from some of that fuckery. But I actually think this exhibition of this is needed because I think it reignited hip hop, and it reignited some of the people who wasn't looking at hip hop. It reignited it put a big emphasis and put a big eye on that. Also opened people's eyes to some of the bullshit that Drake be doing too. So
yeah,
Kendrick maybe. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll say, you know, Kendrick definitely won. I think Kendrick won on every single front that you can win, and that's strategic standpoint, from a rapping just pure rap skill making song standpoint. I think Kendrick made, like, he could make an EP just off the songs that he released during his battle, and it would do really well just based on like what we've seen him do. Like, those are really good songs outside of being disses. He got his first battle, his first real battle. Like, nobody's ever challenged him. So, you know, everybody be like, well, Kendrick's not battle tested. I don't think anybody's saying Candyman anytime soon. So that's a good thing. I think that Drake's legacy is tarnished because not only did he lose a rap battle, which he's lost rap battles before, but to Digga's point earlier, when the allegation is you're not a good father, you just go spend time with your son. And then I was like, okay, cool. I learned a lesson. Now I'm a good father. When it's, yo, you are a nasty man in the Me Too era, in a time where cancel culture is sort of a thing. It's not really a thing. People don't really get canceled, but you can definitely go through a spree where you are limited on your resources and your amount of, like, when people turn on you, they turn on you. And in rap music is extremely fickle. Rap fans are, ask Ja Rule, rap fans are extremely fickle. And if enough people decided, and it seems like, just looking at Twitter, it seems like there's enough people that are not cool with a lot of stuff that Kendrick, we haven't even talked about the fact that Kendrick called to carpet Drake's cultural appropriation, not because he's half white, but because he's a Canadian who comes to America and goes to London and goes to Jamaica and goes to these different places and copies their accents and then makes hits out of those people's songs, takes people like The Weeknd and takes half their music for his album, stuff like that Kendrick called to the carpet, we're not even talking nearly enough about. All of that was called to the carpet in a way that is going to be really hurtful to Drake's career. So Drake needs to get a hit out this, like, within the next month, Drake needs a major song out.
Major song or major album,
right? Yeah. So he's hurt. I think he's hurt bad.
So, who I think won the battle is, I'm going to be honest with you, Kendrick. Do you know why? When you have an unknown comedian make a song about having a BBL.
And then a producer.
And then a producer who sampled that song.
That is
crazy.
And everybody, you know, everybody's always like, oh, well, he was going, you know, 20v1, 20v1. These are all problems that Drake has started.
And to be fair, these are all
problems to be fair,
that
Drake,
that he asked for.
That,
that he asked for,
and that he was warned about, because now everybody keeps bringing up that Jay-Z and Eminem line about, here's how they're going to come at you and blah, 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 right? They gave him the blueprint of what's going to happen. The issue was he got so embedded in the fame. He got so embedded in, like, the fake personas that he was putting out that he lost sight of, like this. He lost sight that when this happens.
Yeah.
And it's not only that. You got to understand, he was just like, oh, it's been a week and a half. You haven't dropped yet. Drop. When are you dropping? And to get three songs in one weekend.
To be honest with y'all,
four, like, songs in a week, three songs in one weekend.
when they did all that shit in the weekend, I honestly didn't listen to. Well, I listened to some of them, but I wasn't.
It was tiring.
I wasn't interested. I wasn't interested into all. It like that, motherfucker. I wasn't
tired either.
I wasn't interested because it was
it's just a lot.
I listened to when Meet the Gram. So you got to remember, Kendrick dropped 6:16 in LA at 6:16 on Friday. Friday night,
he released Meet the Grams, and by Friday night, he listened to by Saturday, he released Not Like Us. That's in a day.
In which he already had it queued up and ready to go.
No, he released Euphoria on Sunday. I mean, on Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
He released
Thursday
was Euphoria. Grams on Friday.
So, no, 6:16 in LA was a Friday. 6:16 in LA was Friday morning. Because the Joe Budden podcast records
on Friday. You're right. Because, Euphoria was Thursday. 6:16 was Friday.
Yeah.
And, he released three songs in a matter of 30
Two days, bro. Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was pre-recorded.
But I'm going to be honest with you. I think Drake thought he had the dagger with Family Matters because, he did a music video and all.
He stumped. Yeah,
I seen that.
That was his red button. That was the it's over when I do this. And imagine y'all, you know what it costs to make a music video?
Right.
You know what it costs to buy a van and crush the van? Think about the things that he was when he was trying to lure him out, everything was to get him to that song. When I play this song, in which I say your child is not your child, and when I say that you're beating your wife, and I crush the van, and I'm acting like I'm in Compton, that ends you if I'm Drake. And 20 minutes later, he released Meet the Grams.
Wait, what'd you say yesterday on the phone? You were like, he didn't even get to the parking lot.
He didn't get to the parking lot.
and my thing is, it's almost totally off topic, but with that video, like I'm a vehicle operator, okay? Why you got this forklift picking the vehicle up from the back when you can pick it up from the side? With the long ass motherfucking forks, okay? You got long ass forks.
This is a wild observation.
From the back of the damn vehicle, pick it up from the side. It's only much easier. Move that goddamn tow truck out the way. Make more sense.
You can only get this breakdown on the Troublemakers podcast, bro.
You damn right. Let's go.
That song. So that song came out. I want to say that Meet the Grams. I mean, Family Matters might have came out like 11 something at night. Meet the Grams.
It was 11 something.
It was 11 something. Meet the Grams came out 20 minutes later. I listened to that song on repeat until 2:30 that morning.
And it was more, in my opinion, Meet the Grams was more of today's Kendrick's, beat flow and all that other good shit.
Yep.
So that's why that wasn't my favorite.
Meet the Grams was just
diabolical. Hey, Digga, how many times did I use that word? Digga, how many times did I use that word in the text?
A lot.
Diabolical.
But I'm going to tell you like this. Yeah. Even if you took out the parts about the daughter, it's still scathing.
It's still.
The thing that made Meet the Gram so, and then just one of the reasons why, like, it was my favorite diss out of all of them, that made it so damaging is because, and I think the fact that he rapped it the way he did in the voice and the tone that he did was purposeful because of the way he wanted it to sound like an open letter, where I actually felt like he was in the room talking to Adonis and his family.
Yep.
Like face to face.
Yeah.
He wanted it to feel that way. And the things that he said and the way that he said it, he didn't just say, yeah, man, fuck your son, he should die. He was like, I'm going to tell you something. I need you to hear this.
Your son's a sick man. I mean?
Your son. And then that little subtle, and if you listen to it, the subtle way that he cleared his throat. Your son's
yes. No. And no, Dennis, you come in here too, because this is your fault. I blame you, Dennis. come here, Dennis.
At the end, and I think the beat also, because like everything he does is so purposeful. The beat of the din, just it builds that anticipation. And then it slowly brings you down with the
exactly,
and it builds it back up. And so, like as you're talking to him, and then at the end when he's addressing Aubrey,
yeah,
that, oh, you stupid,
yeah,
That line at the end where he talked about you lied about this, you lied about that. And then just the way he ends, it was like, it ain't no rap battle. It's a long life battle with yourself.
You better goddamn go snuggle with Crody.
It does not have the same replay value as the other songs, but it has to me, even taking out the whole daughter part, it has a bigger impact.
Much bigger, yes. Much bigger.
Yes.
Honest. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Another thing that makes Meet the Grams so incredible is, like I said, the Amazon Prime delivery time.
Yes.
Like, you didn't even give Drake a chance to relish in his moment.
Nothing, bro. Like, he barely put his jacket on, bro.
Like nigga, you ain't getting no views. You get a little bit of views. That's it. That's it.
Dog. And the fact that Meet the Grams actually almost tripled the views of Family Matters.
People stopped listening to this. Like, they were like, this. I remember, when I first heard it, I was like, yo, why is doing this?
I'm gonna tell you, like remember I told you there was a point where this rap battle became, it wasn't about the fans anymore. That was Meet the Grams.
Yeah.
Meet the Grams was the point where it wasn't, because after I listened to that, I was like, okay. And I was like, I don't, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like
we're right not in Kansas song, anymore.
It was so, it felt so personal. You know what I mean? It felt like Kendrick was like, you know what? I don't want to say fuck this nigga anymore. Pause. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not going to like cuss it. You know, I really, really need to talk to him and talk to his family, and because I don't think that they get it. I don't think they understand. It sounds like a really, really good therapist.
Either a therapist or a guidance counselor.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It sounds like a really, really good therapist telling you what you need to hear.
Oh, he did that shit because of that goddamn long forks on them goddamn forklift picking up the goddamn vehicle from the back. That's exactly what the fuck that shit for.
While we're breaking down these disses, I also want to tell Drake this. B sharp, there's no such chord as B sharp. It's C major. If you go from B, you go from B flat, B, B natural, go into C major. There is no B sharp.
Oh my god. Well,
here's the thing though. You know what song is in A minor?
A minor.
Oh, things A minor.
Do you know what song is in A minor? Huh?
Not like us is in A minor.
Not like us.
No, there isn't. No, hold on. When you look at Drake's discography, there is a song that's in complete
Teenage Fever.
Teenage Fever.
Wow. Look here. This is not what that shit is, all right? It's not what that shit is. Digga, you sounded just like somebody answered the question right.
Dog, A minor, bro.
That's 5 points right there.
I saw that one on X, but yeah, nah, like it, it's trying to strike a chord, but it's probably A minor. Dog.
All right, because I know we got to end the show. I just got one last thought on that A minor part.
After your last thought, we can go ahead and end it.
All right.
The funniest thing that I saw online was somebody blended that A minor with the Orlando Brown video.
With what?
With the Orlando Brown
video.
We said vagina. Yeah, that shit was wild.
Funniest shit I saw online today. All right, crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, go ahead and hit it with it.
Goddamn digger sending me motherfucking Smokey Robinson talking about why they ain't honor him in the 50-year goddamn, what is it, rap anniversary?
Smokey Robinson?
Yes.
Why would they honor
over John? A recurring theme on the Troublemakers podcast is Smokey Robinson singing gangbanging.
Oh, gangbanging. Gangbanging. Smoking that wine.
here's the thing, though. Anytime I see it online, I'll send it to Mikey.
Every time.
Like, that is I can see it online right now, and I'll send it to you.
God damn you fucking Mooley. I swear to God, man. I swear to fucking God.
But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Digga Jones. That's Rajan. That's Red. That's Yoga. And we are the Troublemakers. Two Gun left in the middle of the show, so shout out to Gunner.
I got to figure, because I ain't had Gunner out there in the middle.
Gunner left when we started talking about sports.
About basketball. When we started talking about basketball.
That ain't his bag.
Shout out to Gunner. How do you want to do closing statements tonight? I don't want to go last. I don't want to play anchor tonight.
All right. So,
I'll go first.
You redraw Mikey to me.
Yahtzee.
Gotcha. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for listening to episode 303. Amazed that is episode 300. as I always say, you know, somebody going through a hard time or going through, you know, anything harsh, it takes 3 seconds to say, are you good? Those 3 seconds can go a long way. Thank you for listening. I'm gonna pass the torch.
Boy, you all right? What, you okay?
I'm good.
Look like you had to take a breath just now, nigga.
I'm good. I'm just right now. I'm walking around the living room. I cleaned the house today, and you know, there's nothing like a clean house.
You right. You absolutely right. Hell.
So yeah.
Rajan, go ahead, Bubba.
Hey, what's up? What's up? What's up? Thanks to everybody. You know, for who's listening tonight. I had a good time. Hey. Troublemakers podcast. The homies. Real talk. We talked about a lot of, you know, we made a lot of jokes about the beef and stuff like that. But black crime is never a cool thing. And definitely domestic violence is not something we should be uplifting, nor should targeting young African-American women. I guess my parting shot would be that I wish that there was a way for us to have these conversations without smirching the good names and good people, especially when you talk about women who have nothing to do with the beef whatsoever. But, you know, once you open that door, there is no too far. But we got to find a way to respect black women in the midst of these conversations. That's all I got.
Right. Roger that. God damn. All right. I appreciate y'all having me. God damn it. I appreciate y'all listening to the goddamn show. Look at I'm drinking.
So you've been a part of the show for over a year. Like,
right? Look at y'all know I've been drinking the whole show. I drink every show. Okay. But anyway, listeners, I appreciate y'all tuning in. Tell your peoples about us. All right. If they got a weak stomach or they're just too sensitive, then tell them any motherfucking way. But anyway, yeah, good topics today, man. That beef is getting wild out here. On a serious note, though, happy birthday to my niece. She passed away in February. Her birthday was on Saturday. So happy birthday to you, baby. I love you, and God don't make no mistakes.
Hey, yeah, man. All right, I'm gonna close the show. Thank y'all to the listeners. Thank y'all to Digga, Mikey, Yoga, I'm sorry, Gunna, as always. he didn't stay on to the end, but you know, when we get to talk about sports, you know, I know how it is. thank you to Rajan.
Appreciate it.
Love having you on the show. I always admire your perspective on things.
Right.
My parting message is this. Yeah, the beef is fun, and it's always entertaining. When it gets a little too personal, that's when you start asking questions and start looking into, like, are we doing enough to protect each other? And you know, not trying to bring each other down just for motherfuckers to hit the like button.
Exactly.
I think what happened in this beef was necessary based off of what kind of led up to this and things like that. I do not want to see it go any further a negative direction. Hopefully it doesn't. But, you know, it is what it is, and I'm not the party involved, so they're going to do whatever they want to do. With that being said, I think it's very, very important that to Ray's point that we – you know, look out to respect our black women, respect all women for that matter.
For sure.
And protect them, especially for things like this. And when we talk about protecting women, we definitely talk about protecting our young women, our yeah. daughters and things like that.
Right.
We made a lot of jokes about pedophilia and how Drake does and stuff like that, but that shit is real and that shit does happen. And we got to make sure, you know, the fathers who have daughters and things like that, we're protecting them at all costs and not allowing situations like these to occur for motherfuckers to talk about. So
absolutely.
So world's still a crazy place. Y'all look out for one another. Reach out to the people. And with that being said, and dig a fashion. God bless you and good night.
God bless.
Good night.
Be easy.
Later.